excited. I'm not sure what episode number this is. I think we're, what are we, 13? 14?
Doesn't matter.
We're back, finally.
This counted.
Yeah, it's been a ton of action from U.S. Open Cup to D.C. United finishing up before the break in first place. Three game winning streak, right? Earlier in the season, we didn't think they'd ever be able to do the two in a row, and then they get the three. Eric and I made a trip to Philly to watch the U.S. women.
You guys have been busy, man.
Girls soccer tournament for me and Eric.
We made a little movie about it.
Yeah, a movie. Eric did a movie on YouTube that's over 2,000 hits. I mean, it's hard because I was looking back and thinking, what are we going to talk about? There's just no.
Look, you're out of breath. That's how busy you've been.
I am, man. I am. Got done from my daughter's middle school graduation ceremony. That's kind of unbelievable.
Wow.
All right.
So how have you guys been? Enough about me.
Yeah, we're good. You know, just ready to talk some soccer.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Yeah, Devin and I were just talking offline about what's transpired since the last time we've chatted, and it's been a lot. But we're kind of working forward to backward. We were talking about the U.S. Open Cup and the challenge, the game against United. I mean, the Union.
Right.
The Duke.
It was unfortunate, right? They had some tough U.S. Open Cup matches, man.
Yeah.
It did. That's what Eric and I were speaking a bit. It's the Open Cup is such a fun competition because you know, MLS going more often than not against lower division teams, and it's just these teams are just fighting and scratching and doing everything they can to win, you know.
I think it's great. So it seems like in 1 year, by making the tournament have all the MLS teams, all of a sudden it means a lot to everybody. This cup, I mean, it's always been cool. Yeah, you win the U.S. Open Cup, but now everyone's in there. It's kind of like a measuring post for, like, how you are as an MLS team opposed – you know, there was only 8 teams left when D.C. played Philly that were from MLS. You know what I mean?
And so crazy,
it's like
right?
It's what it's supposed to be, right? It gives all the lower division clubs a chance to say, like, hey, we're at your level or not far behind, you know? And it makes MLS clubs, like, you could have a horrible season and all you got to do is – you know, win a few games, and you have a chance to win a championship and a trophy. So I think it's great. I think it's what U.S. soccer has kind of been lacking, an important local, tournament.
Yeah, I completely agree, and it's got great implications. I mean, it's since – I forget when it started, but it's a CONCACAF bid. So
Coach Benning was talking about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's your entry into that tournament, which is, you know, the most prestigious tournament in North America.
Yeah.
So and you
Caribbean, yeah.
Yeah, and you want your yeah, exactly. So it's something that every team wants to do is get involved in that tournament and you know there's I remember reading a little blip from Benny and he's talking about, you know, it's we want to get in. Obviously, it spreads DC United name. It gets you in a big tournament. It gets the players some. A little bit of cash in their pocket, you know, so there's a lot on the line for the Open Cup, and it's good, you know, I everyone likes rooting for an underdog, so that's what this tournament is all about, is these lower division teams trying to knock off the quote-unquote big boys, and they've done a pretty good job of it so far.
Yeah, somehow it got super exciting this year.
That's what
I thought. I think that the layout of it, Devin was talking about the MLS teams used to have to qualify by a couple pre-games, playing a couple games against other major league clubs, but now everybody's automatically entered in it. So what that does, it sets up all these little giant killers. You know, you've got the Scorpions and the Railhawks and Cal FC now, right? And
an amateur team.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah,
basically,
absolutely.
That's like a Hollywood movie, right? These guys are able to come up and beat, like, Portland, the Portland Timbers at home. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah, local rivalries, too. Like, if you're in Richmond, you're probably too far to really travel to a D.C. game. Maybe you're a fan, but to have them play in Richmond.
Right.
And not only that, they gave a full squad, and then Richmond takes them to, what was it, like 120 minutes, you know? So then I have that whole new local rivalry. And even the game against the Union. And so you get a quick turnaround because they play in the 16th, so there's a chance for a redemption right away. It adds, like, all these new dynamics, you know? And even local teams, there was, like, a Dulles team, the Aegean Hawks, I think, something like that.
Hawks, yeah.
And they went, like, the farthest they had ever gone. So, you know, they get these little teams, like you said, giant killers. I guess you try to get into that, like, NCAA Sweet 16 kind of tournament vibe, right? You get some Cinderella stories and having all the big dogs in there now, there's no excuses, you know what I mean? You don't want to be the one MLS team that doesn't make it to the round of 16 or, you know.
of course.
I mean, if you're Toronto and you can't win a game in MLS season, maybe you say this is an opportunity for us to kind of turn it around or try something out.
Right.
Right.
That's
the
point. You kind of clean slate it there. I didn't even think about that aspect. I've been thinking about, you know, the whole thing about it's almost like relegation to me in the Premier League. You got these little teams fighting for their life. You know what I mean? This means everything suddenly, whereas, you know, the big boys are in the middle of the season. You know, they're plodding along, game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But these guys, this is the first time on, you know, in the national spotlight. They've got a chance. They're fighting for everything. They're playing for their lives, is what Coach Benny said.
Buddy Mark Washoe, you know, his San Antonio Scorpions are doing good, man.
Yeah, real good.
They beat the Dynamo.
Yeah. That's a big game.
It was. And just real quick, Toronto wasn't in it, Chris.
Oh, they weren't at all?
Canadian team, U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I was going with that was that 2008, DC was a bit of a struggling team and, you know, win a couple games, lose a couple games, you know, on the verge of maybe making the playoffs. But we ended up going through and winning the Open Cup and, you know, it obviously didn't make the taste of not making the playoffs. I mean, it didn't make up for that, but it certainly ended. You walk away at the end of the year with a trophy, and that's
important.
And if
your motto is we win trophies, you got to win a trophy, or else that's a silly motto.
Right, yeah. No matter how you do it.
No matter
so
where you come
whatever,
from.
Whatever tournament or whatever it's in, you want to win it. So,
and you know what's neat is next year will be the 100th year of the Open Cup. This year was 99. So that's a pretty storied tournament, you know what I mean? It's not just
I agree with you. This year you saw a big turnaround, and it looks like it's ready for some growth, just like the rest of American soccer, you know?
Yeah. I think it'll continue to grow. It's super fun to watch and keep track of, like we've been mentioning. So it's a shame that DC ducked out early this year.
Yeah.
Especially Philly.
Yeah, that was too bad. It was a hard-fought game. Obviously, it went into second overtime period, but it looks like it was getting scrappy, and you know there were two red cards at the end. So
yeah,
there was a lot of emotion. You know, a lot of hard fighting. And
well, those don't carry over, right? So you kind of get to play that way, you know.
They'll just carry over till next year's U.S. Open Cup.
Oh, till next year's okay.
Yeah, they're not going to carry over to league play at all.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't need to worry about that for the upcoming game against Philly again.
Yeah, a little chance for redemption, right?
Again.
Yeah.
I hope so. Up there in the nice PPL park.
Yeah, so what did you guys think of that place? You guys
gorgeous.
Were up there.
Oh, my goodness. It's really nice, Devin. Yeah. It's super nice. And it's now my template for the D.C. Stadium. I think that's exactly what we should do. We should take their a guy told me who the architecture firm is. I think it's HOK, if I've got that correct.
Okay.
There's the perfect spot right behind Nat Stadium, right there on the water at Buzzard Point. We should just rubber stamp that thing, man. Put it right there.
Man, I mean, Eric, you got to admit, we probably went on, like, the best day ever. It was, like, 80-something degrees, sunny. It looked fake. I mean,
nice light.
I took a picture, and I keep looking at it. It looked fake. It's got this bridge in the background. It's an open stadium. The water's right there. Some kind of dilapidated old, dock area.
Power plant, an old abandoned power plant right there.
It was
cool.
Great, man. You know, you'd be jealous to go there. And I could hear people yelling from the other side. Actually, Abby Wambach, right before she scored a goal, I hear a guy from the other side of the stadium. And I'm up in the press box, and he yells, Alex Morgan, have my baby, you know? And I'm like, wow.
And you can hear it all the way across.
And can you imagine you get all the DC United supporter groups in there? If I can hear one guy yelling, oh, my God. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
So what do you guys think of the I mean, this seems to be a new owner in the mix. I mean, an Indonesian fella.
Thor here, right?
Yes. 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 He's got some ties to Philly, apparently, and also hopefully to D.C.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've been saying, no one's been listening, but it's all it's going to take is another owner with a big –
deep pockets.
A deep pockets, you know, to help us bring in the stadium. I mean, I mean,
maybe willing to invest.
Right, and this, yes, someone, well, because it's risky unless, yeah. I feel like there's been plenty of people probably interested, but it seems there's been another step in the stadium process.
Yeah, it does.
Something closer. So maybe they know something, this, and this owner knows a little something more than we do.
Yeah, but there's the thing, if you're going to take a risk on an MLS team, why not take a risk on the most winning MLS franchise, you know, one of the original clubs, you know what I mean? Like, there is some risk, but there's a huge upside, and they're playing well right now. Notice the timing, right? You know, they're in first place. Yeah. They have the returning MVP. They have what we talk about every week, the huge supporters group, the original supporters group. You know, the market's there, man. They bring soccer here all the time. They're going to be here soon at you know, FedEx Field. They come every summer. The big crowds show up. The Gold Cup last year was here. The fans are here. The history's here. Just put the stadium. There's a slight risk, but, you know. All you have to do is look around the league and see the new teams that take the risk and how much they're rewarded, you know. You know, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver,
right.
You know, Houston. I mean, it's just, Houston. You know, it's look at San Antonio. They're not even an MLS team. They're getting ready to build a stadium. There's no more question about it. Will people go, you know.
Right, right. So I thought our next guest wasn't Mayor Grace.
I think he's in a little trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
he's in court this week. Otherwise,
yeah, he gets appearance on another more important show, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we had Kwame Brown all lined up to explain to us how Buzzard Point is going to figure in, but then he resigned.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to talk to those guys about some fundraising for my youth team, but, you know, apparently they're pretty good at that. I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
They know how to get the money. They still know what to do.
Yeah.
So
what do you think, man? It's kind of like been hard to be on a long break, you know? There's been a lot of soccer, but not much DC United stuff. I guess some of the guys made the All-Star voting, so, you know, hopefully the fans get in there and bump them up. Yeah, they definitely should. They've been all playing great. They
certainly should. I'll be honest, I got a little action on, what was it, Saturday. I got a little DC United action on Saturday. I was... caught wind that there was a reserve game in RFK Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
So,
Did you hop there?
Yeah, I hopped on over there and caught a little bit of the game. It obviously was a bit of a scoring fest. I don't know if you guys saw 4-3, but it was a lot of positive minutes for, you know, some of the guys that needed to be playing, and obviously a good result. I mean, I think, you know, Hamdid Salehi scored.
Nice.
It's always good to score goals. Pania scored.
Good. That's
King,
nice.
Yeah, Kinger scored, Stephen King. And,
nice.
And,
Wolfie?
Did he score?
I don't know. I'm asking.
What
do you think about those reserve matches, Devin? Did you ever play in any of those as a player? Is it, like, good to keep you going, especially, like, during a break like this, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was – yeah, that's all I played in. That's all I played in.
Come on, man. I see footage of you.
It is good to play in. I mean, especially, you know – there comes a point where you want to get a bit of a break when, you know, they had a bit of a rough schedule in May, and you want to get a bit of a break. So I know Benny probably for a fact that he rested some of the starters. But, you know, for the guys who haven't been playing 90 minutes week in and week out, it's good to get touches on the ball, play 90 minutes, and help build your confidence. So, I mean, De Leon was back in action. They put a good squad on the field, and they looked, obviously they gave up 3 goals, which isn't good. I think, they were up 2-0 and got pretty complacent, and, you know, Toronto worked their way back into the game. But, like they've been doing, they responded and, you know, walked away with a win. So,
awesome.
You know, it's a little bit of something. It's not good to have that much time off in the middle of the season. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it was good minutes for the squad, and so, you know, hopefully they can continue that in Philly and walk away with a win at the beautiful PPL Park, because we want to stay on top of the table.
Yeah, man, that place is great. It's such a close drive too. Eric and I were talking, like, we got to get up here. You don't realize we did have great conversation, which probably helped, but it wasn't that bad of a drive.
It was only a couple hours, yeah.
Before you know it, as long as there's no traffic. I mean, the time it took to get there, we could have been just from where I live to D.C., you know, on a bad Friday, so it's not too bad. Yeah. While we were gone,
it was just past Baltimore.
Eric was busy as a guest on another podcast. Hi, Eric.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was lucky enough to be invited over on the DCU for Life podcast. Since you guys were taking some time off, they were scouting me out as potential talent.
Man, that's what happens when you let it slide a little bit, miss a couple episodes.
Dude, it's next thing we're going to see him, like, hosting Live with
there
Kelly.
You go.
You know what I mean? Live with Kelly and Eric. He's just going to be showing his face everywhere, making guest appearances.
You know what? Many hats.
I want there to be a Comcast late night 11 o'clock show that's fans of United, which is just, you know, a couple guys sitting around talking.
That'd be
great,
man.
I think it'd be great. Why
maybe
not?
We'll get to the Ustream, you know, yeah, and take it to video every week or live or something.
Totally can.
Make it happen.
Go. One other little note. While we were gone, the day that the men were in town, the U.S. national team was in town playing Brazil, I was heading home. I was actually running, literally running, because I was running a little bit late, so trying to catch my bus, had my headset on, it's hot, and I'm cruising, and all of a sudden I look, and I see this guy, and looks really familiar, young guy, has a hat on, I stop, I take my headset off, and I say, Charlie Davies? Gets a big smile, yeah, man, what's up? So, you know, had to give him the old, you know, we miss you here in D.C., how you doing? Seemed like a super cool guy, and then I left only to realize I did, you know, he was with a couple other national team players, you know, maybe not on the roster. And I felt like, man, I totally probably look like a schmuck to those guys. But it was cool to see him in town, you know, supporting the national team
cool.
And just kind of coming back. So hopefully he feels loved.
Good sight.
Yeah, pretty random, you know.
Job.
Very random.
Yeah, nice.
Good I think he's got a busy summer. I think he's getting married this summer.
Oh, yeah?
Right on.
Yeah, so we'll props to him.
I should have probably warned him against that. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
All right, let me reference. Oh, hey, there's two things I want to reference. First, shout out to Tim Kaine. Tim O'Kane, I'm sorry. I used to be in a band with Tim O'Kane. Here's what he used to say. He goes, you know, if you take a jar and you put a bean in it every time you have sex before you get married, and then once you're married, you take a bean out every time you have sex, you'll never run out of beans.
That guy's a smart guy.
Hey, can we play
one
game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I want to play Who Makes More, okay, in the MLS.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The numbers came out. This is exciting.
The numbers came out.
This is exciting. Let's okay, go for it. I don't know the name of the game, but I'm pretty excited for it.
Okay, Who Makes More? Stand by 1 second. BMAC or Juninho?
Juninho from L.A., the Brazilian? I would guess him.
Yeah.
BMAC.
BMAC it is. Good one.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I saw that Juninho. He must be like half of his salary must be paid by his last club or something. Well, I know he was on loan.
I don't know. They're a Brazilian club. They don't seem to be wanting to pay, right?
That's true. That is Does true, it? Huh?
Okay, here we go. Who makes more, Eric Hathley or Dwayne DeRosario?
Well, you would think the MVP would, but I think it's a loaded question. I'd go Hathley.
I'm going D-Ro.
It's Hathley.
Wow.
How much does Hathley get?
Hathley is at he's got he's salaried at $550 and he's guaranteed $790. So they have both numbers.
Devin, okay. Are there you talked about like the bonus kind of possibility in the U.S. Open Cup? Are there bonus structures in people's contracts? I've always been a big like sports radio guy, right? And I love all sports. And you listen, and they'll break down contracts all the time, football contracts or you know, these incentive laden contracts. If this guy gets to X number of home runs or X number of games started or whatever the sport is, whatever the statistic is, yards thrown, receiving yards, rushing yards.
Right.
What about like in MLS? Like, did D-Row get any kind of bonus for being MVP? Do any of these six guys benefit from being named to the All-Star squad, like financially? Is there any kind of incentives for them financially in their contracts, or is that not a really big deal? Yeah,
there are.
Good.
No, yeah, there are. There are. There, you know,
you'd think there's a bonus.
You would
in
hope
there
so,
somewhere.
But the contracts in MLS, they're so kind of like secretive and under the radar, and
yeah,
it's hard
cryptic.
To get information out. You
it
know,
it is cryptic. They don't like spreading the word too easily. I know the union had to fight to kind of spread the word to get everyone's salaries released. And right. I think, you know, obviously salaries have continued to increase every year. But, you know, 5-6 years ago, I don't think MLS wanted to release the salaries because they were going to embarrass some of the players.
Can we keep going?
Next round.
Who makes more? Who makes more? Torsten Frings or Landon Donovan?
Oh, my gosh.
Why do you always bring up Torsten Frings? I don't even think I know what he looks like.
He's like a $2 million player,
what?
Too. Yeah, I want to say Torsten.
Torsten Frings!
Yeah.
By $13.
You look
nice,
at,
right?
Is you
it
look
the Canadian
at,
tax bracket? What's going on there?
I don't know, but it's crazy. I played this game with myself, like, for an hour just because.
That's weird.
And you can always tell by the way I'm asking the question what the answer is going to be, honestly, you know?
Well.
Because, you know, you've got guys like, okay, you know, Wondolowski.
Right.
Who,
scoring machine in MLS.
Absolutely. Right. However, that's only kind of a recent discovery, right? Let's try these two. Biddy Failhaber and Breck Shea.
Failhaber.
Yes. A lot of times you can decode it by seniority. Who makes more, Wondolowski or Beckerman?
I would say Beckerman.
Yeah, I'd say Beckerman. Yeah.
So here's yeah. something that it kind of goes along with what you're saying, Eric, and I brought it up when the national team was playing. I think that's the whole chicken and the egg thing, but for some reason most people are on the opposite side of this argument than me, which is fine, but why are there not more men's national team players, U.S. men's national team players, on MLS teams? And the argument I get right away is, well, then the national team wouldn't be any good. Right. The quality of the national team would decrease. But I point to Landon Donovan, who's made a huge career out of MLS, and he had a hat trick, right? So, I mean, obviously his production is not going down.
Yeah.
And everybody says, you know, well, the quality of play isn't there, or you got to pay them, you know? And it's like money. This whole chicken – it's kind of like what Devin was leading to, though. You know, you got to get a guy to take a chance. Well, maybe they come up with a new designated player slot. Every team gets one U.S. national team designated player slot, unlimited cap or, you know, some
off
right,
balance.
You know, like you get one guy and you can pay him whatever you want, a U.S. national team roster guy. Because as a fan – obviously we're fans of United, but I'm a fan of U.S. soccer over European soccer mm-hmm. – and I'm a fan of my national team, I want to be able to see my players. That's the big draw to go to see a national team game, you know? I get to see those. And I think, like, I would love to see Owen Yewu on D.C., like, kind of a local Maryland D.C. product, going against, you know, I mean, you get to see Landon Donovan, but how about Josie Altidore coming back? You know what I mean? Or any of these young guys that I want to see them. I don't want to be surprised when I see them.
I'll tell you why. I mean, to me, the answer is very simple, and it's, you know, all wars are economic. You've got our top player, you know, is Thierry Henry. He's making $5.6 million right. guaranteed compensation. What are those guys at the Premier League getting?
Right.
It's probably, I mean, if you're a regular starter, you're probably about two.
What about Stewart?
$2 million.
Yeah, regular starter, where our regular starters are around the $250,000
right.
type.
Right.
I mean,
if that.
You're right. That's actually quite
so
good.
You give them a special designated player slot, and you recognize that the reason they're in Europe is because of the money. And so you say, you take the money out of the equation, and you say every team has an opportunity to sign one of these guys. So now what's the problem? Well, now you say,
it's up to the players.
Well, not just
that. They've got a limited time in this window. What's Clint Dempsey going to do? He's got $25 million offer over to play in the Premier League, or he could be the top player in MLS, maybe at 5.6. I mean, multiply that out over 5 years.
Right. I mean, so maybe you don't get the top.
The economics.
Maybe you don't get the top third, right, of the national team, but you get some of the bottom guys, right? So instead of having a guy over there like Bradley. On, you know, he's not playing on a top level European team.
Yeah.
He's on like
good
a
point.
Second tier level. Mm-hmm. He's kind of struggled to find a spot on top level teams when he's had the chances. Why not get Bradley out here and see Bradley on a team like in Boston or DC where his dad used to coach, you know? I mean, that strike he made in the game was just ridiculous. And I just want to see these guys. And then, so the first argument most people point to is money. And so my way of getting rid of that is take money out of the equation, have an uncapped, you know, designated player slot. I'd rather see designated players signed that were national team players as opposed to these European guys that are so hit or miss. You know, we talk about it all the time. I mean, you know, are they going to bring this guy back? You know what I mean? He's suffered injury. When they bring him over, all you get to see, like all we could see from Salehi was, well, he scored a lot of goals overseas, but like who knows who he's playing against? And you know what I mean? I'd rather spend that money and that slot on a roster spot for a national team player or maybe a national team like outserts guy, like trying to make the team again. You know what I mean? And then the other thing is about the competition level. A lot of people say, well, the competition level is not there. But if you brought all these guys into the league, you know, it would increase. So it's kind of like, well, what has to happen first? Is it the money, or is it the level of play around them? And maybe someone has to do like they're doing for DC and just take a chance and sign a guy and just throw so much money at him he can't say no, and then see that he continues to do good on the national team and others will follow. I just want MLS to be strong, and I want to be able to watch my national team players like other people get to do in their countries, like England, you know?
Well, yeah. I think everyone's going to agree with you there, Chris. You know, we all want our best players to be playing in MLS so we can see them every weekend, and I think this problem is what Don Garber is trying to figure out. He's trying to create soccer in America, which I think, you know, as we know, soccer has been growing crazy in the past 10 years. But we're still losing the best players to the European League. And, you know, as a player, I think what it is that's the ultimate goal. You know, the ultimate goal is to play in the EPL. The ultimate goal is to play at the highest level possible. And right now, MLS, although it's steadily improving, is not the highest level. And along with playing at the highest level is a fat paycheck. So it's kind of a no-brainer for these players. And MLS, frankly, is maybe in the next 10, 15 years going to be able to afford paying these players what they get in Europe, but not right now. And, you know, with that, they want to challenge – sorry. With that, they want to continue to challenge themselves, and that's why they – you know, some of these guys will go sit on the bench at some of the best teams and maybe not even the best team in Europe, just to challenge themselves to see if, you know, everyone wants to see what they're capable of, and that is, you know, playing at the highest level.
Sure. Well, you're exactly right. MLS has got a lot of growth between now and what Chris is talking about. And Chris, I think you make a really good point. That should be an ideal that MLS is striving for, to bring these guys home. And maybe they set up a special designated player system. Let's call it star system, you know, after Stars and Stripes, that each MLS gets an off-cap U.S. player, you know, like a marquee player. Do you remember when they were starting back up in the ML and the WPS?
Right.
They did that with the women's national team. They, like, took 12 girls and divided them all up so that every, you know, women, excuse me, so that every team got one. And that would evenly distribute not just the talent, but also that marquee factor, that draw, you know, to try and get people to
get. Well, MLS did that in the mid-90s also, if you kind of look at it. They had the strong run, right, in the 94, and they were finally getting some recognition. And so they kind of did that, you know. They split them up, and all the popular guys kind of got split up on the teams, and you know, it wasn't too bad. And a lot of the players that are overseas got their start in MLS, so they must have been getting decent enough training to at least get recognized by European squads.
Sure.
You know, you could point to a half dozen players that are over there. Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley, you know. Landon Donovan's gone over there last time. Jade Merritt came back. But you know what I mean? Stuart Holden, Friedel. Yeah, I mean, plenty of these guys get their start in MLS. So it can't be
– Timmy Howard.
And then the last part about this whole thing is being an American sports fan. I'm just used to our leagues being the best. I don't see the best AAU basketball player coming out of high school and say, I want to go play in the Turkish league, or I want to go play in Spain. You know what I mean? Major.
Well, this is the place where the world's on its head. You know, we're behind the world.
I know, so I'm just used to that as a sports fan.
I just see it as growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I see it as growth as well, yeah.
I think the benefit we have that's going to end up helping catapult us against some of those leagues is the is when your team gets relegated. We don't do that. So from a business standpoint, not a competition standpoint, because I understand I coach, you know, youth soccer. I understand where they come from with the competition standpoint of relegating the lowest or bringing up the top two. And you see it in U.S. Open Cup that could probably work. But from a business and an investment standpoint, if I'm going to invest what it takes to build a soccer-specific stadium in America and try to grow the thing, I want to know that I'm not going to be demoted in 2 years, you know? Like if I'm part of a financial group backing a team, I want to know, like, we have 10, 15, 20 years to do this and do it right. And I think that's a benefit European teams don't have, because they lose so much money when they get knocked out of the Champions League or, you know, the Premier League.
Well, it makes it mean something. You know, have you ever seen those teams that are on the bubble in the Premier League?
Yeah. Like
the Wolves, man, they go out there and they fight for their lives.
But that's why we have the playoffs.
There's nothing to be said for that.
To us, playoffs is the same concept, kind of, or motivating factor that relegation is.
I disagree, because relegation means you're finished. You know, you've actually got something tangible on the line. You can go ahead and not make it to the postseason, and then fall comes back around and you start over. You know what I mean?
Right.
You might have your tail between your legs.
From a business perspective, once they get relegated,
yeah,
they're out. And a lot of those clubs, it's like the death of them.
I know.
Like, they could have the strongest supporters groups and the strongest following, but once they lose that, the top players leave. They don't want to be there anymore. And I think it's a benefit from a business perspective to say, like, well, we don't have that fear, you know? We want to make the playoffs, and we want to make money, and we want to be good, but you're not going to lose.
Honestly,
your
because
financial.
The business of sports, I don't see us – I don't know anybody who would play that game. I don't see anybody willing to risk it like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like,
to tell the Nationals, hey, if you guys don't make it next year, you're a minor league
club.
Yeah,
never happening.
You know?
I think it's a benefit.
Happening.
I mean, some people might not agree, but I think if I'm financing a team – there's a lot of Americans are going to Europe and financing teams. But what if those teams – don't do very well, and they lose their money, you know?
Livable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's so reward. I mean, they're not going in and buying, like, you know, Stoke City, or, you know, they're buying the teams that have, for the past 25 years, been in the top four of every league.
Right.
Or of the leagues that they're in. So, you know, I think there's financial I think they know what they're getting into in terms of financially gambling with it. But
one would think, one has to hope.
I'm sure, yeah. So another thing with, I mean, the salary cap, that's a huge issue for why. I mean, you know, I think it's good. It makes everything obviously very competitive. You know, every team has the same playing field. You know, it's not like Manchester United going against this small European or this small like Queen's Park Rangers.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But that also puts a cap on the type of player that you can bring in. And even if this average salary goes up, you're still going to only be able to have, you know, two or three marquee players because you obviously would pay them the most. Or are you going to just got to build a solid team? I mean, that's kind of the way it works. So some of these American players that you want to bring back are so expensive. I mean, look at Freddie Adu.
Yeah.
He went and ventured around for, what, 3 or 4 years, and he's coming back, and now he's a DP. For Philadelphia? I mean, is he really worth that?
No, it's marketing. People know the name. They'll always know that name.
I guess so. Yeah, but it's also because of his salary that he was getting paid in Europe.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
Hey, this is the only way that we're going to get him back is if we pay him this much, even if he's not worth it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of a factor, I guess, into, you know, trying to bring back these American players that we think should be playing in MLS that, you know, are trying to apply their trade in Europe.
Yeah, yeah, good point. And, you know, don't you feel like there's an impression that comes once you've played in Europe? You know, it's sort of, to me, like,
a little chip on your shoulder.
Well, I think it adds some sheen to their career, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
He was playing in Europe, he must be good. Okay, last one. Who makes more, Connor Schanovsky or CJ Sapong?
Sapong.
Oh, Connor Schanovsky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
11 wins.
Yep.
Yeah, crazy, right?
Homegrown
that's
player, dude.
All day.
Yeah,
yep.
That's
yep.
The other thing. Mm-hmm. If you try to break down the salary, who knows what all that means? It's so confusing. Homegrown, but, you know, it's.
Yeah.
How is Sapong not a homegrown player? I mean, just because his team, but he was raised up in a, you know, he did participate some in DC Academy, and he's a, you know, college guy, but.
Well, if he was playing for us, he'd be homegrown, right? Come out of the
yeah, if they would have signed him early. But, I guess he went off for – did he go – he went off 4 years at college, yeah.
Did he? Okay.
I'm pretty sure if he's getting paid that, yeah.
The thing that they won't lose skill level by playing at MLS is look at Neymar. Look at these Brazilians that play in their Brazilian league. That's not a top league in the world. No one says the Brazilian league is one of the top leagues in the world. It doesn't slow the Brazilians down at all. They go and they're always World Cup favorites, and they continue to produce amazing players. I mean, Neymar's...
You're talking about the team that's Mexico.
Well, it's, you know, in general, and maybe they lose every once in a while. But you know what I'm saying?
And then Argentina beat them. But
Argentina's
like the next greatest player, possibly one of the top five players in the world right now, and he's not in a European team. He's doing homegrown stuff in his home club, you know. So I don't know.
I'm all about it. I'd like to see.
Yeah, I'm all for it too. We're on your side.
I know, but you're probably the only two.
By the way, Argentina didn't beat Brazil. Messi did.
Right.
Messi,
I know. Well, a hat trick, that'll do it for you.
Yeah, right.
By the way, while we're at it, I want to shout out to Violet. She got a hat trick this week as
well.
She's doing her Messi impression to end the season.
So I think in the past I've tried to, hint around to Devin or at least encourage him, like, hey, you ever think about coaching youth sports? Well, let me just tell you, after I just finished my first full season of coaching travel sports. Before that it was high school and just doing, training, right? I coached high school girls.
I think I know where this is going.
Let me just I would never encourage anybody to get into travel sports, or especially travel soccer,
now.
If you have – I don't even know how to say it. Let me just tell you that the tryouts were the worst part of soccer I've ever experienced at any level. It's just horrible. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It goes against my personality. I don't want to upset people. I just want to coach. You know what I mean? I'm out there just for soccer. Well, it's the most difficult thing ever is to make those decisions and deal with parents. Oh my God. So Devin, maybe you're right.
I've heard some.
It's crazy. I never knew, man.
It's the baby EPL, man. Trust me. I've seen little girls crying last week. I've seen parents pulling their hair out. And I've watched people go through all the stages, you know, of anger, denial, resentment, thrashing, wailing, gnashing, eating ice cream, and then coming
I've
to
I've never felt such a bad human being in all my life. And I thought I did a good job last year.
You did a great job.
But then you go
right?
Like, man, everybody has good points. It's impossible to please everybody. I don't even know if it's possible to make one person happy. But anyway, Devin, don't rush into that.
All right.
Just keep that in mind.
Scratch marriage. Hold on. Let me get it. Scratch marriage. Don't get married.
Don't
coach youth sports. Okay. Yeah. No, right. I'm learning.
Whatever you do, don't stop drinking.
This is
don't move to the suburbs. We'll do a whole different podcast. Don't worry about that. Bitter old guys. All right.
So what do you guys? What do you guys think of the chances up at PPL Park?
I think they're good.
I think we're gonna go up and take it. Yeah. I think that
we're gonna be missing D-Row. We're gonna be missing Jakovic. Right. We're gonna be missing. I guess Danny Cruz is still out. I mean,
is Cruz still out?
Can we do it without D-Row? What do you think?
I think we can. I think it's going to be a tough challenge, but I think it's going to be the second half. To me, this is like it's a series, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be the second half of the series. I think we'll split the series. You know, I think we learned a lot from them in the U.S. Open Cup, and I think we'll be taking it to them in their own court. I think it's going to be a scoring fest. I think there's going to be a lot of goals. I think it's going to be 3-2 United.
3-2, okay.
I'd be interested to see how the heat affects all teams as they come back. Everybody's coming off a break, right? And United is like, wow, hey, welcome back. Here you go. Travel to Philly, travel to New York, middle of June. Let's see how you do. I could see the heat being a factor. And so I predict low-scoring games. But I think that DC can – I think they can extend their MLS winning streak to, you know, 4. I think we'll be surprised. But
wow.
I think so, man.
That'd be a first double. I know. And earlier we were hoping for doubling one win in a row, right? Now we're talking about doubling two to make it 4. They're like,
what do you think,
goal scorers? Maybe teams are like, you know, you go on a win streak and it snowballs. Who knows? But I think it could be Philly. I mean, they lost in the Open Cup, but Philly was struggling before that in MLS, and so, I still think they're kind of a mess,
It's funny how they, you know, different competitions bring out different teams. I mean, look at Toronto last year. This year, they made a run in Champions League. And
early on, yeah.
And they're 0-10 in the league, you know, for the first couple months. So, I know for a fact Benny was really pissed off about this loss.
Yes, that was.
Yeah, I mean, you guys read it. But it was, you know, especially losing to Philly for Benny being from Philly. He despises losing to them, so... I think he's going to rally the boys, and I'm kind of with Chris in the fact that it's starting to be summertime. It's starting to get hot. Watching the reserve game, granted, it was like middle of the day, your defender's mind, I mean, you know, when you're tired, you know what happens. Your mind goes, your legs go. So as a defender, it's the heat's the worst part. It's so difficult to play in the heat because it just seems every mistake is just seems to get punished during the summer. So I think it's gonna be a bit of a scoring fest as well. I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go 3-1.
There you go. That's a nice line.
I didn't say what team. I didn't say what team.
Still a good line.
It's just 3-1, and I'm not gonna pick a team because I don't know, but I think 3-1.
Cool. For the record, I'd like to say that I think predictions, now that we've been doing this for a while, are completely worthless.
They are, absolutely, yeah.
And I know I keep my own score, and it just helps me remind myself that I am just a fool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I got a big shoot day on a new project tomorrow. It's the first day of shooting, so I've got to wrap this up.
Okay, all right.
I want to say, hey, fans of United, it's good to be back. I'm looking forward to the second half of the summer.
Any shout-outs?
Still looking forward to getting out to some games. Got the usual shout-outs. Shout-out to PPL Park.
Yes.
Shout-out to Devin McTavish, as always.
Whoop, whoop.
All the supporters groups, DCU for life. Let's keep it going.
All right.
Chris,
yeah,
you got
I got a shout-out to Eric for traveling up there with me to PPL Park and shooting an amazing video for the VA Soccer News site, but also for the SYA girls that were out there escorting both teams. We just got amazing feedback from that. And, of course, you know, Eric does amazing video, and so that was just really quality stuff. And I had a great time with him. And shout-out to you guys for not firing me for the last couple of weeks. Kind of been hit or miss, you know. It's been crazy, but everything's back to a regular schedule now. And shout out to every single parent of a travel soccer or travel sport kid. I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how I did it before. Maybe I was just clueless, but wow, what an experience. So those are my shout outs. What about you, Devin?
I actually got a personal one. Should I do that? Can I do a shout out for myself?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I've been talking to you guys about this a little bit. I partnered with, or actually working with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, which I worked with when I was a player, and we decided to try to do it. Well, we're not trying. We're actually doing a 5v5 adult co-ed soccer tournament to take place the weekend of September 15th, which is a Saturday. And then the final, the two finalists will play in one game on RFK Stadium Field after the DC United game against Chivas on September 23rd.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a chance to raise some funds for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation and you know, give you an opportunity to play on DC United's pitch.
It's
if you get a second, check it out. PlayOnThePitch.com. It gives you all the information and tells you how to fundraise and all that sort of jazz. So I'll give you a little more information when it comes along. But for now, that's about
very
it.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
No. Sounds like fun.
Like a job for Eric to use that one.
And a good cause too. You know, yeah. Good for you, man. Awesome.
Yeah, and we're pretty excited about it. So it'll be a good time.
You said playonthepitch.com.
Playonthepitch.com.
Was that playonthepitch.com?
What was that?
All right, guys. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, that's good.
Every Monday we'll be recording these. They'll be out Tuesday. I promise. No more bailing on anybody.
That's good.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate
it. All right. Thank you. All right. See you soon. Bye.